How are you all doing today? Well, thank you for being here. And I know you could have been celebrating Mother's Day, but and I promise I will not keep you here for too long because I know you want to go and you have a good time with your loved ones, with your moms, wives. And I just, one more time, I do want to appreciate all moms. I just want to acknowledge each one of you. I know how tough it gets sometimes. Believe me, I know. I am there with you. And sometimes there are days like you feel you're just not doing good enough. You feel just like, ah, you look at those Insta moms and like, man, they have everything put together. They're just like, their houses are perfect. The meals are perfect. The kids are always clean. And here I am just trying to get through the day to keep them alive and fed, right? But I just want to let you know, you are the best that your child could have. You, Jesus, you know what? I just want to, like, before we go to the word, I just want to share this, like, little story. It's just pretty funny, but it's just changed my opinion about myself as mom. One day I was spending my night time with Jesus. I like my night times. And it was 12:30 a.m. And the house was sleeping. Everybody was sleeping. It was like quiet. And I have my little worship music. I have my Bible open and I'm just praying, just worshiping. And I had a difficult week, you know, just everything, you know, just, oh, you feel like you're not doing good enough in the ministry as a mom, as parent, as wife. And here I am just crying and, you know, just basically crying my heart out to God in my mind. Like, Lord, forgive me. I'm not good enough. I failed here. I was not a good example here. I slept here. I'm so sorry, God, forgive me. And then, and it's like, it's night and it's quiet in the house. And then I hear a little, like rustle from the kitchen area. Like there's like little noise there, like somebody's like walking. And I know this is not my family because I know how they walk when they get up. This is not one of them. I was like, okay, maybe I just like imagined, maybe just in my mind, like whatever. I try to focus again. I'm praying, I'm worshiping, just, you know, pouring my heart out to God in my mind again. And again, I hear the same noise coming from the kitchen, and it's like it's the middle of the night. Everybody's full asleep. My first thought, because I'm intercessor, you know, my intercessor in me is always on the watch. I was like, okay, maybe there's like evil spirits activated in my house. Maybe something is manifesting like a demonic spirit. So I start, you know, praying in tongues, you know, just covering the house with the blood of Jesus, you know, binding every demonic spirit. And then I go back to my worship again. And here I am worshiping again, pouring my heart out to God. And I hear the same noise again. I was like, what is going on? Who is in the kitchen in the middle of the night? So I get courage. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to see whatever that is. Like, I'm ready to deal with it, you know? So I'm going around in the kitchen, just look behind the wall. And there is my child, Ava, sitting on the floor. She has tears in her eyes. I was like, Ava, what are you doing here? You scared, you know, like you scared me. And she's like, Mom, I just felt like I just woke up and I felt like so much presence and I wanted to go to your room because it just felt so good to be here. Can I be with you a little? I was like, okay, she has to get up for school 7 o'clock and it's like almost 1 a.m. in the morning. I was like, okay, you can stay with me. But I guess, you know, if you want to stay in the presence with me, you go ahead. And then we're just sitting together. The music is playing. We're just reading Bible, worshiping. And then my child, she says this to me, like, Mama, you know, Jesus wants to tell you something. I was like, what? You know, you're such a great mom. And you're such a great leader and you're such a great example for everyone and you're so inspiring. And she just started telling me what I've been crying out to God in my, you know, in my thoughts. And it's like my jaw has dropped. It's like I felt like Jesus was speaking through her to let me know that, you know, you are good enough. You are, you know, the best you could be, you know, and you're doing your best and he appreciates that. And then she's like, okay, Mom, I feel sleepy again. I will go to bed. So Jesus awakened her in the middle of the night to come to me and tell her that I am a good mom, you know? So I just want to pass this down to you. Let's just you know, if you feel like you're not doing good enough, you are great, you are enough, and you're doing the best, and Jesus sees it, he appreciates it, and he loves it about you. Amen. I just felt like I just needed to release it to somebody. And yeah, don't underestimate your children. God, let me just open this. Yeah. So God does speak through our children. Just, you know, pay attention to what they say to you sometimes, okay? Okay. I'm going to go back to my message now. I do want to continue on the message that I have started in March, last time I was preaching here and the English service. We were speaking from the book of Songs, Song of Solomon. And we, you can rewatch the whole thing on YouTube. The part one was called Overcoming the Mountain of Separation. So just a little quick recap. We were speaking about the relationship of the church and the Christ, how she got into this conflict when he was calling her to the higher places, and she was not ready to commit, and she was not ready to let go of some things, and then she lost that fire. She lost that hunger for the beloved one, and then she had to overcome certain things to get back that love, to get back to the place of the first love. So she was in this journey where she was not in the bridal place yet, but she was struggling with certain things in her life to let go so she could get into the place of intimacy where she does not lose it again. So this is what we have talked about last time. But this time I want to go further, and I want to talk from chapter 4. And the message of this topic is called Ascending to the Place of Suffering. I know it kind of sounds like contradicting. How can you ascend the place of the suffering? Because usually when you go through suffering, it feels like you are on the bottom of the pit. You feel like you are in the, you know, in this valley of the shadow of the death, and you are on the bottom. But in the Bible, when we will read it, it's actually called, the process is called ascending to the place of suffering. And there where she becomes the bride. Because I know we live in a time where God is not raising up ministers. God is not raising up teachers, evangelists, or revivalists. He's not raising up that. He's preparing the bride. We are in the time of intense preparation. God is preparing his bride. And I know there are people in this room who want to go deeper, who are not satisfied with what they have, those who want to have more, those who are not just content with the, you know, just once a week service and then go home, live their lives. I know there are people who are hungry. I know God got us together. I know there's lovers of Jesus in the room. Is there lovers of Jesus? Is there lovers, true lovers of Jesus? And this is who he's raising up in these times. And these are the people through whom he will be walking on this earth, through whom he will be doing a lot of wonderful things in these last days. We will see the church rising up in power and authority, and this will be through lovers of Christ. So we will go further. We will read from the Song of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7. As we mentioned before, the book of Song of Solomon is a very deep book, and it's coded. And I know religion hates this book. I know even some churches, like deacons and pastors, they forbid youth to read this book because it's something like from the adult movie or something, you know. But it is coded. It talks about relationship of the Christ and his church. Oh, devil hates this book. He was trying to hide it and take it, these revelations, to take away from the church. He was trying to rob this church of this revelation and always keep them like in the distance relationship with Jesus. When we come, we sin, we ask for forgiveness, we go back, we sin, we come back, we ask for forgiveness, like never feeling worthy, never able to go deeper. And this is where devil wants to keep his, the children of God. But the book of Song of Solomon, it's actually tells you how to get to that place of intimacy, how to get to this bridal spot. Because a lot of people asking, how do I know, am I the bride or not? Because when we read the book of Revelation, I believe it's chapter 19 or 21, do you remember when John, he was seeing the vision of thrones in heaven? It was the day of judgment, and there was Jesus was on the throne, and there are thrones with Jesus, and the bride was with him, and she was given the authority to judge the nations, the angels, the demonic spirits. The church of Christ was given that authority. And then there is a multitude of the redeemed ones who were just singing, you know, songs to the Lamb. So you see, there are two categories, the redeemed ones, and then the ones who will be judging with Christ. So you are given one life on this earth, just once to live, and it will determine which group are you going to be in. You know, just washed in, like redeemed and washed in his blood, or you were given access to sit on the throne and, you know, to judge. Actually, we are all given this invitation. We are all given this, you know, access, but not everybody want to take it, and not everybody want to actually go that far. Okay, so in Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, so we are continuing. So she finally came to this place when she decided, like, now I want to get committed. Now she dealt with her little foxes. Remember, he was asking her, just deal with these foxes, everything that hinder our relationship. Please take care of that. Please remove everything that separates you from me. So he was given her assignment to do that. So, and she did. And now finally she came to this place where she says, I will read from the Amplified Version. So she says, until the day breaks and the shadow flee away in my thoughts, I will get to the mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense, to him whom my soul adores. And then he exclaimed, so when he saw her reaction, and then he exclaimed, oh my love, how beautiful you are. There is no flaw in you. I want to break it down. Right now, it's just like, doesn't make any sense. What is the mountain of myrrh and frankincense? Like, how we can relate to that, okay? So first, we, like as I mentioned before, she's in a place of single-mindedness. She made her decision. She's not satisfied of being separated, you know, just separated and coming back, separated, coming back. She finally found the one she loved. And in previous chapters, she said, I will attach myself to him and I will not let him go. Because she lived through the darkness, she felt, she tasted what it feels like to live without his presence. And once you taste his presence and then lose it, you will not be able to live in peace. You will not be able to function. You will not be able to walk without his presence anymore. You will be craving that. The life without his presence will become like a torture. Have anybody experienced that? When you were on fire for God and you felt his presence, and for some reason you just kind of lost it. And you just like... This is actually the sign where you are his son, you're his daughter, you're his bride, because bride cannot live without his presence. And she will, you know, and you will get back to that place, whatever the cost is. Okay, so she got to that place finally. I will try to build the base for our cake, and then we'll build up on that. So be patient. But in the verse 2, above that, before she made this decision, there's certain things happened as well. In verse 2, the beloved tells her, your teeth are like flock of young sheep, which have come up from the washing, of which all are in pairs and none is missing among them. So in other words, he tells, because the teeth and washing, it represents... Basically, he tells her, you have tasted my words, because what we do with teeth, we chew on the food, right? When food gets you. So he says to her, you tasted my words and allowed my word to cleanse you. Okay? This is why he says, your teeth are like flocks of young sheep, have come up from the washing. So he saw, like, you took my words seriously and you allowed me to cleanse you. So you walk with me became pure. You started being protective of my, like, of your walk with me. Okay. Because Ephesians 5:26, it says, just to draw the parallel to that, Paul says, so that he, the Christ, might sanctify her by having cleansed her by the washing of the water, of the word. So this is the parallel where Jesus, he washes and cleanses his bride. You cannot cleanse yourself. No matter how hard you try not to live and like not to sin one day, you know, you cannot cleanse yourself. You have to spend time in his presence. You have to immerse in his word. You have to immerse in his presence and he himself will start cleansing you. Okay. And this is what she's done. This is why in verse 2 above, he says, I see that you washed yourself with my word. And then in verse 3, he says, your lips are like thread of scarlet and your mouth is lovely. Your cheeks are like halves of pomegranates behind your veil. So this verse, it has a really deep meaning as well. Why is he comparing her lips as thread of scarlet? Do you remember when in book of Joshua, when Israel went to Jericho, remember the prostitute Rahab, remember who hid those two spies in her house? And she said, please, you know, have mercy on my house. And they promised her, yes, when we come, you just put that red ribbon, the scarlet color, the red ribbon over your house, and we know we will not touch you, okay? So, and this is where this Jesus, he refers to that red scarlet thread of Rahab. It speaks of mercy, okay? And Jesus says, your lips are like thread of scarlet. So your lips release the mercy. You became merciful. Your cheeks are like halves of pomegranate. And pomegranate, if you remember, it was included in design of tabernacle. When Moses was building tabernacle, pomegranates is as like one of the fruits that it was there. And it represents the fruitfulness. Okay? It has prophetic meaning. It's a fruitfulness. So basically Jesus telling her, because you allowed me, you spent time with me, you spend time in my word. You allowed me to cleanse you. I see the fruit of your walking with me. Because every time we spend time with God, we spend time in his presence, there will be fruit in your life. Because a lot of people say with lips, oh, I love Jesus, and they raise hands and they worship him. And they, you know, just make the whole YouTube videos about teaching about them. But then when you see them in real life, and the fruits are, you know, the fruits of their life giving us completely different picture. So we don't judge but what we see outwardly. We look at you and the fruit of your life. Is your fruit really like connecting with what you're releasing with your mouth? And this is what Jesus said. I see the fruit of your life. You allowed me to cleanse you. Because intimacy with Jesus will show the fruit. Your character will start transforming into his character without you even trying hard, okay? And also, pure and uncompromised walk brings pleasure to the king. So do you know the walking in purity? It is the worship of, it is the form of worship. Some, you know, a lot of times we limit ourselves. We think worshiping is just, yes, you know, closing in your room and turning on the worship music and pray and coming to prayers to church. But actually, pure walk with God, this is the form of worship. Okay? Amen. So, going back to verse 6. Remember, she said, like, yes, now I'm willing to go to the place, to the mountain of myrrh and frankincense. Because in the earlier chapter, she said, like, no, I'm not ready yet. You go, I will stay. But here she said, now I am ready. So I want to stop here a little bit and explain what is mountain of myrrh and frankincense is, okay? If you remember, when Jesus was born, Magi brought the newborn king three gifts, remember? Myrrh, frankincense, and gold, okay? So what does frankincense represent? In the Bible, in the tabernacle, when in the day of Moses, when people brought offering to God, so they used frankincense as one of the incenses, okay, into the offering. So it would bring that pleasant smell. So Jesus, when Magi, they gave frankincense as one of the gifts, it actually, prophetically, it represented that Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice, because the same ingredient was used into the offering and sacrifices when people brought, you know, goats and, you know, for their sins. So this is a very prophetic meaning. So Jesus became that offering. Also myrrh. Jesus was gifted myrrh when he was born. Myrrh was used as a perfume for embalming the dead in the biblical times. And if you remember, when Jesus was taken off the cross, before he was put in to grave, he was embalmed with myrrh as well. So, and here, he's calling her. She says, like, yes, I will go to the mountain of myrrh and frankincense. In other words, she says, I will go to the mountain of place of death, suffering, and sacrifice. Okay, so we will break it down why the mountain is called the place of suffering and sacrifice. And you will not avoid it if you are his bride, if you want to be his bride, if you step into this place, you will not avoid the mountain of sacrifice, the mountain of myrrh and frankincense. Okay, so when she says yes, I will go to that mountain. In verse 7, Songs of Songs, chapter 4, verse 7. So the king exclaimed, oh my love, how beautiful you are, and there is no flaw in you. So after that, he said, you are perfect. There is no flaw in you. Why did he say that? As we read above, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, 27, Paul says, so that he, the Jesus, might sanctify her, the church, having cleansed her by the washing of the water of the word, with the word, that he might present the church to himself as a glorious splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such things, that she might be holy and faultless. Okay, so basically, she says, like, yes, I agree to the process of cleansing. I agree to the process of suffering and death. Whatever the cost is, I am willing to go to the end. And then Jesus says, like, now I see you. Basically, she stepped into the place of bride. And I know for guys, it's kind of hard to picture yourself as a bride. And maybe you're just sitting there and just like, okay, I cannot relate to the bride. We need to understand when we speak of bride, I know we said it before, and I just want to remind you again, it doesn't have to do anything with your gender, because bride of Christ will consist not only from women, it will consist of men and women. It's the group of people who took this invitation, who went to this intimacy, okay? So, there are realms in the spirit that are reserved for bride only. And at the same time, there are people who are content and satisfied, you know, with corporate anointing, with corporate presence. You know, they come to Sunday services, they come to Friday prayers or to home group, and whatever, you know, they receive there, they go home and this is enough. They don't have pull to go and spend time with Jesus on one-on-one, Okay, they just wait until the next service and they get filled up again, and it will get them through the week, and they come and they just feed and drink from the corporate anointing, from the, you know, from the corporate presence. But then there's another group of people, when they get home and they want to get away from all this noise, from all other people, and they just want to go to a lone place where nobody can distract them, where when they want to, you know, dig their own well to get their own living water. And this is exactly what the bride does. She will not be satisfied with corporate anointing or presence only. Her main source is from the, you know, from this intimacy place, from the one-on-one place. You know, each of us, we are wells. You are the well. I'm the well. We were created to be carriers of living water. We were created to be His vessels, where He would fill us up with His living water. Okay? But then other people, they choose to drink from other wells, avoiding the main source of the living, the true, the main ultimate source of living water. Okay? We are not meant to, like each one of us as well, we are not meant like permanently, you know, just feeding you with this water. We're not meant, we're not created to satisfy your thirst. We are here to give you the sample of the true living source. So after you tasted what's in me or what's in her, like you will say, like, you know what? I want to have what she has. I want to have, you know, what she experiences. And you go into your private time and you start digging and digging until you start getting filled up with your own source. It's like, you know, when you walk through Costco, right? On the weekend, you got through Costco and you see those little sweet ladies who are like offering little samples, you know, of food. And you go, you try one, you try second one, you try third. I was like, oh, this is good. Where can I get that? I want the whole thing. I don't want just a little sample, you know? And she's like, okay, you can buy this in this aisle. And you go and you just pay whatever that package costs, and you pay because you want the whole thing. This is how we are. We are wells. We are just offering you sample, you know? But then you have to have your own thing. You have to go and buy your own one, you know? To dig your own well. Don't be satisfied with what other wells are giving you. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So I know we are just getting into this time where I'm just praying that God will provoke this hunger, provoke this thirst. When you go home today, you will not be satisfied with what you got today, but it will, you know, will motivate you. It will pull you into your own place of intimacy where you will start digging your own, you know, living water and filling yourself up with the true ultimate source. Okay, so let's talk about the mountain. So what is the mountain of frankincense and mountain of myrrh? What is this mountain of suffering? So first, I want to read from Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, because it shows the whole picture, what the mountain is looks like. I love because there's parallels, like from, if you read Song of Songs, there are parallels all over the New Testament who actually break down every passage, and you can see the whole picture, okay? So you can relate to it. So this is the mountain. But first, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul says, for my determined purpose is, so we will be, I will be reading from Amplified Version. So the main goal, why we're here, why we're doing this, our ultimate purpose, okay? He says that I may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly. So this is our main goal, becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, okay? Recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly. And then he says, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection. So Paul says, like, and my other goal, I want to experience the power of his resurrection. What that power is, I want to experience it in my life. And then he adds this, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in the spirit into his likeness, even to his death in the hope. That if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out of among the dead, even while in the body. So he talks about these all wonderful things, about power of resurrection, you know, getting like intimately the knowledge, the clear understanding. But then you cannot have that without sharing the sufferings and to be continually transformed. So you cannot have one without the other. To experience his glory, you have to be partaker in his sufferings. And when I say about sufferings, I'm not speaking of sufferings that what religion tries to draw the picture to you, where you're always depressed, you live in misery, you're always unhappy because you have to pay, you know, your price into the presence to go through some attacks and storms, even though, yes, that's the part of it, but this is not what the sufferings. So I want to bring a biblical perspective. What is the sufferings that the Bible tells us about? Because Jesus says in Matthew 11:29, Jesus says, simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways and you will discover that I am gentle, I am humble, I am easy to please, and you will find refreshment and rest in me. So see, this is not the suffering. Jesus does not want you to suffer in this life. It's opposite, actually. If you join yourself to me, your yoke will be easy, your walk will be pleasant, you will experience the peace. So what sufferings is Paul is talking about then? What he wants to, what's something we have to experience before we experience his glory? Okay. Do you remember when Jesus, of course, we all know Jesus died on a cross. A lot of us, we really think that the Jesus' death, it's actually happened on the cross, right? We all sing songs about it. We talk about it. But I want to tell you that Jesus died before. The death on the cross, it was the fruit of the death that happened before. And his death happened into the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay? Do you remember his battle when he was sweating blood? His flesh part did not want to die. Do you remember him asking, Father, please remove this cup from me? The human part did not want to go on the cross. And when Jesus was asking for disciples to intercess with him, to stay awake and just, you know, pray with him, they all abandoned him. He had to go through this battle alone, you know, where nobody saw him. It was his battle. And after he won that battle in Gethsemane, he already died there by his obedience to the Father. He said, like, and then he said, yes, Lord, I will go. This is what I was born for. And he died right there. And then he got off his knees. And when he came out in the Garden of Gethsemane, he already was on the altar. He already was sacrificed. And what happened before, it was just the aftermath. Okay, same thing with Abraham. Remember when God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac? Remember when it was a battle for Abraham as well, because this is the promise he was waiting for 100 years. And now God is like, give it back to me. And you remember the struggle. So when Abraham and actually when he built the altar and when he put Isaac as a sacrifice in his heart, he already killed him right there before he even, you know, put his knife in Isaac. Abraham made decision by his obedience. He already sacrificed Isaac in his heart. And this is why God stopped it. Like, no, you don't need to do it because I saw your love for me. You already sacrificed him. This is why Jesus is very strict when he said, even if you look at the woman with the lost, you already made the act. You don't have to do physical act just by looking at her, because actual act happens in our hearts, where we decide, you know, to sacrifice, to die, or let go of something. It all happens here when nobody sees it. And what you see is just aftermath. This is why Jesus is like so strict. Even if you look, you already, in my eyes, you already did it, okay? So same thing, when Jesus was battling before the cross in Gethsemane, he already died and he already sacrificed himself. So same way, you and me, every day, we will have to put our ego and our ambitions on the altar before the Lord. So this is the mountain of suffering. This is the mountain of myrrh and frankincense. The mountain of suffering. This is where the Jesus, this is where he's calling his church. Like, if you put your ambitions, your ego on the altar, so then I can live through you. Then I can allow you access to the heavenly realms where only my bride can be. It's only reserved for those who are willing to die every day on that altar. You may say, like, yeah, but scripture said that we are crucified with Christ. It's just like one time deal and you're done. But if this is the truth, why are old things from the past are trying to always to come back? Why are we losing our battles sometimes, you know, struggling with all things? But the thing is, yes, the flesh is sacrificed, but it wants to resurrect all the time. It always wants to come back and dominate over you again. So this is your job, this is my job, to keep it on the cross. And every day you have to make certain decisions to keep her, you know, where she was crucified. You know, in John 12, verse 24, Jesus said, "Let me make this clear. A single grain of wheat will never be more than a single grain of wheat unless it drops into the ground and it dies. Because then it sprouts and produces a great harvest of wheat, all because one grain died." So this is where we're called to. We have to become that seed who are willing to put our ego, our own desires on the altar for the Lord. Okay? And it's interesting, in God's kingdom, it's all opposite. Whatever looks like a progress to other people, it actually looks like your downfall in God's eyes. And whatever looks like degrading in eyes of people, it actually looks like ascending in the eyes of God. So that little grain, they decide, you know, like you and me, with little grain that, you know, said, "Yes, Lord, I will go through the process, whatever you work you want to do in me. I'm putting everything aside. I'm going there." And in people's eyes, it feels like they look at you like you're not progressing. You're like dealing, like going through a process. But in God's eyes, you're getting actually higher. You are being set and positioned for bringing a lot of fruit. Again, coming back to the scripture of Revelation chapter 2, where Jesus was speaking to the church of Ephesus when he said, "Remember where you fell from and come back to the first love." I was like, Jesus, like, what do you mean they fell from? And when he was speaking to them, they were like in their prime time. They were great achievers, like moving in prophetic spirit with the gift of discernment, with the, you know, going through hardships, through persecution. And they like stood like firm. They were, like, in people's eyes, they were achievers, they were champions. But in Jesus' eyes, he saw them as they fell. Okay, so he's like, come back to the place where maybe nobody knew you at the time. You did not achieve, but you had this burning love for me. You were in the highest place where your, you know, your ego, your own desires were, you know, on the altar. And at that time, you were the closest to me. So this is the how kingdom of God works. You want to be blessed, you have to give. You want to be forgiven, you have to forgive. Okay? you want to be fruitful, you have to die. So let's talk, how do you die? How do you go through the process of death? How do you know, like, my flesh is dying? How do you know I am on that mountain of suffering in the place of sacrifice? How do you know that I'm dying? And actually, a lot of people, they sometimes ask me, why do you speak a lot of dying? You pray about dying and this and that. Like, well, you know, I tasted it. I saw the fruit it produces in me, because every time there's part of me dies, it makes more room for Jesus. Another part dies in me, it makes more room for Jesus. So my goal is just to die more and more every day until Jesus takes over completely. I fell in love with the process. Even your flesh, oh, it will hate the process of death. Let me give you maybe a few little examples. How does your flesh die sometimes? Something that we see a lot in churches, right? Your brother and sister in Christ in church gets promoted, right? You've been serving, you've been working hard, you've been faithful. You've been doing this for the Lord. You know, we all think we're humble and walk in humility until somebody next to you gets promoted. And you are not recognized. You're like completely unnoticed, you're not recognized. This is the storm, you know, raging inside of you. Like, how? Why? Why him? Why not me? I was putting all these hours. I was here when nobody said, and you start, you know, this is you raging. And God allows these things to happen because he wants to expose this inner conflict that it's inside of you. And now you have a choice to get offended, to, you know, just turn around and leave, which is the easiest thing to do. Or you're going to say, like, you know, Lord, if this is the season for me, then this is the season, then I will dig deeper. I will go deeper. And instead, and you notice, like, before you loved that person, before they got promoted, and you encouraged them all the time, giving them compliments, and all of a sudden, after their promotion, you can't even look at them anymore. I was like, why him? I'm better. I preach better. I sing better. I have better connection with people. I was more faithful. Why him? And this is how you make your flesh die. You just shut down what it tells you to do. And instead, you go, you hug that person and tell them how happy you are for them. And you can congratulate them and you just bless them. You release the blessing. This is how you make flesh die. And you will see how after this, you will start progressing. God will promote you in your own time after you pass your exam. Okay, and he will put you in your place where you're supposed to be. Because a lot of times we are withholding ourselves. We are, you know, hindering ourselves from moving deeper and, you know, moving further into his glory. Another example, a lot of times you will experience injustice from other people. You will be falsely accused for things that you have not done. Experience when people slander you behind your back for things that you haven't done as well. And now you have another choice. What are you going to do? Are you going to go and justify yourself to be your own defender, to prove them all that they're wrong and start, you know, redeeming your name, you know, in front of other people? Or you're going to go to your prayer room on your knees and you're going to say, like, Lord, I'm giving this all to you. I'm allowing you to be my defender. I will not say, this is how you make flesh die. Oh, believe me, your flesh will want to defend yourself. Your flesh will want to go and tell them all what she thinks about them, you know? But no, instead, you just like this grain, you go and you just, you know, give it all into the Lord's hand. And again, you passed another exam. You are progressing. You are getting closer to his glory. There's going to be times when you will feel lonely and misunderstood by others. When you feel that you don't have a voice, it's like you're trying to share something, you want to speak up, and it's like you are not heard. And this is where you keep discouraged. You don't want to do anything anymore. You don't want to move. You don't want to progress. Like, you know what? just forget about them. They don't appreciate me. They don't hear me. No, God will put you in that place for purpose because He wants to give you the opportunity to put yourself on an altar again and do opposite of what your flesh does. But you seek that comfort in His word, seek comfort in His presence. This is how you make your flesh die, because there's different situations will be arising where you will have choice. Will you allow your flesh dictate your walk, or you will, you know, allow Holy Spirit to take over and submit to Him? So basically, the mountain of suffering, the mountain of myrrh and frankincense, this is where you become the living sacrifice. This is where, like, daily you make decisions to keep your flesh crucified. Do not let her to, you know, get off that cross. Because a lot of times we just give in into our human emotions and we just do things without praying, without thinking. And then we just, you know, putting ourselves like step back. Like the whole work that Holy Spirit was doing through you, you know, perfecting you, cleansing you, preparing you, by one like decision, you just make, you know, you just putting yourself a step behind again. So please don't do that. So this is what I wanted to bring. I don't want to hold you for too long. I just want to close this, my message with this word again. Jesus wants to take you further. Just say yes to Him, like, yes, yes, Lord. I am willing to go to this mountain of suffering. I want to be partaker of Your glory, but you cannot be partaker of His glory until you die in different areas. Because you cannot advance, you cannot progress until, yes, Lord, I submit to You. Not to what my emotions telling you, not what my feelings telling you, but I submit to what Your word tells me to do. Okay, so, and I know God is raising up lovers in His in this hour, and He will be moving through His lovers. You can be full of knowledge, you can be full of Bible, you can memorize the verses, but if your actions, if your lifestyle does not match with the word, it's all be useless, okay? So let's stand up and let's pray. I just want to just pray for every single one in this room. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for revealing us, for taking us deeper. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us invitation. Just tell Him, Lord, I take this invitation today. If You have not made Your decision to go deeper, to go all the way, just look inside of your heart. Maybe there's a fence that still holds you away. Maybe there is unforgiveness that still hinders you from progressing into His glory. You just need to understand, it's not people. Holy Spirit, He will put you in certain situations because He wants you to make right choice and submit to Him, where your flesh dies even more, so He can live through you more, so He can take you to the more like intimate places reserved for His bride only. So you will not be only a spectator, but you will be a partaker of what He has for you. We say yes, Lord. We say yes. We will go to this mountain of suffering and death, Lord, where our flesh will be dying more and more, so You could live through us fully, so You could manifest through us. Jesus, we say yes. We are ascending this mountain. We are ascending this mountain where You're inviting us to go. Yes, Lord. We say yes to be your bride. We say yes to be your intimate lovers, who will not be satisfied with the water from other living wells, Lord. Even though we thank you, Lord, for our pastors and leaders, Lord, and teachers and evangelists and prophets, we thank you, Lord, that you're using them in your body for these days. But after all of that, we're getting away from all this noise to get to the source of ultimate, real source of the living water. We say yes to you, Lord. Every day we want to drink from you, Jesus. Only from you. Thank you, Jesus. I believe there will be more and more decisions today to go all the way without wasting this life on earth. We're only given one life on earth, which will determine where you will be with Jesus. Are you satisfied with just being redeemed and washed by his blood? Or do you take this invitation and go all the way after his spirit, where he's calling you and inviting you today? Are you willing to make certain sacrifices in your life to disconnect everything that hinders you from your progress into him? Are you willing to give up anything that disconnects you, that bring impurity in your life? Are you willing to disconnect that? Everything that steals your time with him? Are you willing to submit, even though your flesh does not like it? Are you willing to say yes and be a living sacrifice for him every day? Every day, to worship him with your pure walk, to protect the boundaries, and do not let the foxes in, the ones who try to steal the vineyard, the ones who try to rob you of his presence. Are you willing to keep your house clean, reserved for Jesus, to be his secret garden where he can come and he can take his pleasure in you? Are you willing to become his resting place, to protect your inner house so he can take pleasure in it and rest in you, to become his resting place? Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. I'm asking Holy Spirit to activate this hunger, to activate this pull, to activate this crave for you. Let all other cravings die, and only craving for you increase. I'm praying that everything that is not from you becomes tasteless and loses its affection and impact. But the desire for you, Lord, will overtake. Yes, Lord. We're going to the highest places. We're going to this mountain. Just like you had to make decision in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, we're making decisions today to submit to you. Not what our flesh wants, but where your spirit is pulling us and taking us. Thank you, Jesus. Is there on the mountain. He is waiting for you to take you inside of him. Don't stop halfway. Don't waste your life on meaningless things. Don't rob yourself of his glory. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. The Spirit is calling. The deep is calling out to deep. The deep is calling out to deep. There is an invitation for every single one of you, but so little want to take. The price will be everything. The cost will be all your life, where you will not belong to yourself anymore. This is the cost of being bride of Christ. Are you willing to put yourself on the altar and say, yes, Lord, whatever it takes, whatever the process is, I am willing. I am not here for recognition. I am not here for the praise. But I'm here to experience you with a personal knowledge and clear understanding of who you are. You are my reward, Jesus. You are my greatest reward. And you are worthy, just like you put your life on the cross, Jesus, just like you put yourself on the cross. Same way we are putting everything on the cross. We're crucified with you, Jesus, so you could live through us. He is worthy of your life. He is worthy. Yeah. because He has a better plan for you. He has a great destiny for you. And there's so much He wants to reveal to you. He wants to take you to the unknown, where nobody has ever been before. He wants to entrust you the revelation of Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, one time I was spending time with Jesus, one of my night times, and this encounter was very different from other encounters where I would feel His fire, His presence, His peace. You know, this encounter was very different. I was taken, like, in a spirit. I knew I was in the different realm, not the realm where you see Him as the glorious King, as the like this majestic like King. But there's a different. I saw Him as the one who needed healing from His bride. I know some of you might say, like, you're crazy, He's God, what healing are you talking about, He's perfect. But do you know that His heart is being broken and wounded every day by His own children? Do you know how many of His children just come to use Him for blessing, for healing, for gifts, for anointing? They pull everything they need out of Him and they forget, and then they go and they forget about Him. Do you know how many of His children promise Him to start, you know, spending time with Him, to get into His presence, and the next day they forget and they go after their idols? Their hearts are fell astray to other lovers and they cheat on Him every day. His heart, and I saw Him as my bridegroom who was weeping, and He asked me, will you come and heal my heart? Because what we usually come to Him for healing, we come to Him for restoration, but the bride is given the authority to heal the heart of the King. And in that encounter, I started loving on Him. I started crying over Him. I'm like, Jesus, I heal your heart. I anoint your heart. I'm not here to ask for anything. I don't need anything, Jesus. But I'm here to heal your heart. This is what bride does. She's not there for her own needs. She is there for Him. Because yes, He's fully God, but then He's a man. And He has same emotions. Thank you, Jesus. Will you become that bride who will come to Him every day and just start pouring out your love on Him, healing His wounds? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. don't want to keep you for too long, but I just want to leave you with this thought. When you go to your prayer time today and tomorrow, just take a different approach. Just put aside your needs and your unanswered prayers and struggles. Just focus on Him. Just love on Him. Anoint Him. This is what Bright does. Blessings to you guys. Thank you for being here. Thank you for having patience and receiving this word today. Yeah, be blessed. Have a good time with your families, with your loved ones.